Why do we say Shir Hamalos on Shabbos and on Yontif before we bench? On a very technical level, what's that all about?
Why not during the week?
Why not during the week? Exactly.
Is it connected to Musaf?
No, not particularly.
So Rosh Chodesh, you don't.
You do say it, and you say it on Saturday night too, on Malavat Malka. There's a very simple way of, there's a simple rationale. Basically, it's like this. You have to have Torah in a meal. That's the mission in Pirkei Avos. Any meal that doesn't have Torah in it is like eating dead sacrifices. You need to imbue the meal with spirituality. And how do we do that? We learn Torah during the meal. I was actually in the army. Everyone has like their special gun or whatever. So I wasn't that good at that stuff. So I would give the Dvar Torah and bring the washing cup. That was my job. So I always had to say Dvar Torah. But the rabbis didn't trust us that we'd say Dvar Torah. So they said instead they should at least say a kapitel of Tehillim. So during the week, we do Al Narat Bavel. But on holidays, whenever you don't say Tachanun, that's the rule. So Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, Saturday, Shabbos, any festive meal, you do Shir Hamalos instead. Okay, that's a halachic reason why we do Shir Hamalos. Rav Avinar actually says that nowadays, back in Eretz Yisrael, I think he's quoting Rav Cook, Rav Yehuda Cook, nowadays we should always say Shir Hamalos because we're back in Eretz Yisrael. And Al Narat Bavel is a sad song, morning, and now we're back in Eretz Yisrael, we should always say. Anyways, the truth is it doesn't matter. You could say both. It's just to have some words of Torah. You also don't really have to as long as you spoke words of Torah. It's nice. Okay? That's why we say Shir Hamalos. Why is Shir Hamalos particularly pertinent and relevant to this time period? To Yom HaZikaron and Yom HaAtzmaut on a simple level. You guys know about this?
Say it again?
Why Shir Hamalos before Yom HaAtzmaut? Why did I dafka want to learn about this before Yom HaAtzmaut? And so we'll see when we learn the word. Why? What does Shir Hamalos have to do with Yom HaAtzmaut?
Hazorim v'dima b'rinei yitzorah.
Ah, so that's definitely a central verse that we're plowing with tears and then we're rejoicing. But even before we go to the text of the Shir Hamalos, Shir Hamalos was a strong option to be the national anthem of the Jewish people instead of Atikva. And that's why I'm saying Shir Hamalos is Tuna Vatikva. Because if you look at the words, as we're going to do, it's all about the national dream of coming back to Eretz Yisrael and then finally
getting
it.
It's
why did it lose? That's a good question. I don't know. Maybe because the idea is that we're not yet there. Meaning, the dream that Shir Hamalos is dreaming for, we're getting there. But maybe there's an idea that we're not 100% there, perhaps. But I don't know. But that is a really interesting. I don't know historically why it didn't win the vote. Tov. So that's one thing that we're going to talk about. Then we're going to learn a little. We'll try to figure out what is a pshat of Shir Hamalos. What does this mean? And third, Rabbi Foreman has an awesome 5-part series where he has a crazy theory about a hidden story, a hidden biblical story, alluded to in Shir Hamalos. So we'll try to unlock that also. All right. But first, let's just go through it. Shir Hamalot. How would you translate Shir Hamalot?
Song of.
A song of?
I'm reading art school. Song of Ascent.
Right. From what? Why do you say ascent? From which word?
Malot.
Malot. Right? To go high. So, what does it mean, a song of ascents? What does that mean?
I guess the song of uplifting.
Who are we uplifting?
Start with ourselves.
Very good. Okay, good. So, shot number one, Jerry says, is we're uplifting ourselves. So, Rav Hirsch says that. And it's very simple shot that we're lifting ourselves higher. Secondly, there are 15 different Tehillim, which start off with this Hamalot. And in the Beit HaMikdash, Rashi in Sukkah says that this song was sang on the 15th step of the Beit HaMikdash. So that's another idea this year. The song that was sung on the steps. Pretty cool. Yeah? Okay. There's another shot which is specific to this Talem. This Talem in particular, it's relevant that Ma'alot might refer to the going up from Gullus to Eretz Yisrael. The song that was sung as we went up, as we made Aliyah. Okay? And there's a Pasuk in Ezra which indicates that Ma'alot has that association. And as we'll, when we look into the Talem, we'll see that that might make a lot of sense. Okay? Shir Ha'Ma'alot. B'shuv Hashem et Shivat Zion. So what does that mean?
What Shivat mean?
To return.
Oh, Shivat is captivity here.
Oh, you're saying... Oh, you're right.
You're not sure.
Oh, the captives of Zion. You're right. Not Shuvah, Shiva.
Hashem returns the captives of Zion.
We will be like dreamers. Or it will be like a dream. The strange pasuk. So...
Also, kecholm, not cholm.
Right.
A dream.
It'd be like a dream.
Like a dream.
Right. So what does that mean?
It means it's actually real.
Mm.
It'll be a reality that's...
It's like a dream.
It means a dream is something that something you would never believe, but it's a dream.
Mm.
And the dream is... It has almost a concept of infinity to imagination.
Mm.
Kecholm, I mean, it could actually happen.
Right.
You'd be living something that would feel like a dream to you.
Right.
It would be a reality that you would interpret as a dream.
Nachon. Awesome. Have you guys read the book Like Dreamers?
No.
Yeah. It's awesome.
By Jesse Klein Lake?
Yeah. Yeah, it's like, I loved it. Mamish. It totally transformed my view of the state of Israel, and it's an awesome book. Really heavily recommend it. But yeah, I mean, that's how many people say that's Eretz Yisrael. It's hard for me, I'm assuming hard for most people, to feel that way because I'm used to it. I grew up in a world of Israel just being a normal thing. But, you know, you ask people who lived before the state of Israel and it was like a dream. Like, it didn't make any sense. There's no chance. How could we ever come back to Eretz Yisrael? Like, that was just ridiculous. It didn't make any sense.
What was Jerusalem like before the dream?
Gosh, a whole different world. So that's...
Do you remember when Kinsali Shalim only had two lanes? Remember that?
So, but the question...
The Kraft Stadium was in Gan Soccer?
That I don't remember.
Anyway, you just think about it, we should just take in whatever we know. Because
you guys need light?
We
already
mamas
have
need
light.
There's so much light.
Yeah, but do you want some candles?
It'd be sweet, but we don't need it. It's all good. So anyway, just on a pshat level, so we could be talking about the future, right? When God brings back the captives of Israel, it's going to be a dream. I guess we're like imagining the future, yeah? Or what's another option? Oh, cool.
That's
hey,
another one bites the dust.
He found these on the floor.
It fell?
Over here.
Oh, okay. How'd you guys go down in the crew?
Oh, you know.
Intensity.
It was too much. It was too much. They couldn't handle it. Stop. I scared them away with the sad stuff. This is appropriate for you. Is it grown? These are the candles these are the candles we use for Yom HaShoah.
Gonna say the 6 million.
Yeah, so they're connected. Mamish, from the 6 million to the
24.
Yeah, Mamish. So either we're talking about the future or we could be talking about the past. There's a song that they sang when, in the time of Ezra, during the time period of Shivat Zion, when we came back to Israel, during the second Beit HaMikdash, perhaps this was a song that they sang. Yeah? I'm not sure, but.
That's what Rabbi.
No, this is. No, I'm not up to Rabbi Foreman yet. I haven't got there. We're just fleshing out Pshat. I'm just putting ideas out there. But since you brought up Rabbi Foreman, What is this verse? What biblical character does this verse remind you of? Someone who is a captive. Someone who is dreaming. Someone associated with Sion.
Yosef.
Oh, Yosef. Yosef was a dreamer.
Right.
Yosef was someone who was put in captive. This Rabbi Foreman doesn't say, but it's pretty cool. In Hasidus, Yosef is associated always with Tzion. He's a lover of Tzion, and he's the same gematria as Tzion. So, Yosef is lurking in the background of this Tehillim somehow. Okay? We'll get back to that. Cool? All right, so we're the song of the dreamers. Az yimale schok pinu. Then our mouth will be full of schok. I guess, how do you translate schok? What do you guys think?
Schok usually means laughter, but
questions also mean change. Right, laughter. Pshat.
Could be like also like playfulness, because misachek.
Right.
Playfulness, laughter, something definitely positive and fun.
Yeah. Like the nevuah about how the children will play in the streets of Yerushalayim. That's what it reminds me of.
Oh, it's there. And the tzchok here is with the sin.
It's right.
So
right.
It's no, like it's tzchok is with
laughter. Yeah.
Like, no, it's different. Tzchok is not the same thing as tzchok.
Yeah, they're associated, they're connected with each other, but they're not the same. If Shlomo talks about how happiness is like in this world, tzchok is like laughter is like beyond this world, like it doesn't make any sense. I could someone comes up to you right now and gives you like $50, you're super happy. Someone comes up to you and gives you like $10 million, you don't have the, you like, you don't know what to do with that. So like tzchok, says Rav Shlomo, is like beyond we could even imagine. So then our mouth will be filled with praise. And our tongues will be filled with song during this time of Shivat Zion. Okay. Let's just take a moment of that. Now it's the second time we're getting to this word Az. Where else have we seen Az?
Before Az.
Yeah.
Schok Pino is just noticed, both like one first to the face and Shonai and Rina first to the mouth. Just saying, what's the?
It's interesting. Yeah, it's saying, you know, Schok Pino, our mouth, and then our tongue. We fill with joy.
Pino is our mouth or our face?
Yeah, the laughter of our face.
The laughter of our face.
And then our tongues will be filled with song. So it's like,
well, one sounds like exterior, one sounds interior.
Yeah. I mean, although panim is interesting.
Panim is something that people see on the exterior, and speech, rina, is coming out from within.
Something deeper, yeah. Yeah, I wish I knew the difference between like rina and other types of song, but it definitely seems like it's a very deep type of song.
Okay.
Kvalt. Very good. I'm also just remembering the Gemara. The Gemara says that Rabbi Yochanan had a tradition from Reish Lakish that he would never like totally lose himself with laughter in this world. He said only when Mashiach comes. Azimala. Then, means to say that this refers to the Messianic era according to Reish Lakish. But Az, just to go back, what is Oz, the second time we're talking about Oz. When's the first time, at least in my mind, that I think of Oz? What is this Oz associated with?
Oz Yashir
Moshe. That first time when the whole Jewish people were like, mamish, in the Oz Gematria 8, they're beyond. They were totally...
Oz means and then, right?
Then, right.
Then, which means it was all then.
Then, back
then. It's more of like also a realization. They've got to a level. I'm just pointing in the Kuda out. So I forgot. I learned recently the Pesukim of Elisha, but it's just an idea that we I'm use the word got to because we. Was it a real? Was it something that happened, just happened to them, or was it a growth spurred from themselves? Or Oz brings you to this point. I mean, I think we were discussing Oz when we were learning Oz yesterday. When so much about that I got to was did it just like come out like throw up?
Or was it there the whole?
I mean, did it just come out as almost a natural response? I wonder how it would interpret in this particular.
Right. The same Oz. Yeah, it's interesting. The source for us saying hollow.
It doesn't say it's not like the gown.
Right, and then it's Oz.
There's some.
We have to
movement.
Look at all the different Oz's and try to figure it out. But it's fascinating that that. Of course, we know that there's a controversy about whether you should say hollow or not in Yom HaTzmut. One of the sources for why I believe we should say hollow. Is this Gemara? The Gemara learns out from Az Yeshir Moshe, the Gemara in Pesachim, that any time a miracle happens to the Jewish people, we have an obligation to say thanks.
So why don't we just say the bracha on a miracle?
So no, but Chazal have a, or the rabbis have a chiyuv to establish a hollow.
I'm saying there is a bracha. Why don't we just say that? There,
no, that's true.
We should go up to give out the chumashet and just stand there and make a bracha.
Because that would be true if it was an individual. If an individual miracle happened to me, then I would say the bracha that on a miracle happened.
Oh, we can't, right.
But when we're talking about something that's so big, that's on a national level, that affects the entire Jewish nation, that it's kibbutz galiot, that for 2,000 years being predicted, and then finally we as a nation have been privy to come back, so that's something that needs to be done in a more national type of level, the same way that Hanukkah, we don't just go to the place of the Maccabees and say a personal bracha. We need to do something as a nation so that we don't forget the miracles. So anyway, that comes from Az Yashir, where as you're saying, it was a natural type of thing. And I think maybe it's not so natural for us because we're so used to it, but I think anyone who lived in 1948 before the war, or 1967, and then survived afterwards, doesn't matter what hat he was wearing, would have naturally had to go out and sing and dance, because wow, oh my god. And it's supposed to have that Oz moment. Yeah, okay. Oz Yamr Bagoyim. Then the Gentiles would say, Higdil Hashem Lazot Yimele. God has done great things to do this. Okay? So, as part of this messianic, you know, Shivat Zion, it's not just good enough that we celebrate, but it's got to be something that the nations are also going to be joining us in this celebration. I share a story that just happened to us. So my wife and I were doing, we were doing Pesach in Rwanda. So every day one of the nice things is when you're traveling is I don't daven with a minyan. There's no minyan in Rwanda. So I get to say hello with my wife. So we would sing and dance together sometimes. So we were singing and dancing in this random youth village, and the Rwandan black chevra started dancing and singing with my wife. I have it all on video. Their mom was dancing, and by the end they were crying. It was so much joy. And they were telling us, "Oh, come back and teach us Torah." It was mamish amazing. So that's. But that's the goal. It can't just be on Sukkot. This whole street was full of the Gentile parade, and they're all dancing and singing, and we were blowing the shofar, and it was amazing. It was messianic, Amish. So Az Yom Rabbagoyim Higdil Hashem Lasot Imele. What does that mean? Higdil Hashem Lasot Imele. Any thoughts? How would you translate Higdil Hashem?
God made great.
Right. So you could say God made great. He did great things.
I'm not saying that he did great things.
Oh.
He made great.
Who did he make great?
Im Ela.
Ah, he made the Jewish people great. Interesting. That's good. That's one way of looking at it. I was thinking maybe another way. Higdil Hashem. Hashem being made great.
Then he went large. So there'd be another way of saying Hashem went larger than himself, kind of, in the eyes of the guy. He stepped out of his natural form.
Right.
Higdil Hashem. Hashem greatered himself.
Mm-hmm.
Which in their eyes, they have this limited concept of what Hashem is. So they understand natural order. So he went beyond the natural order, lasot, to do imeilu with these.
Right. Uh-huh. It's like the Christ.
They say about us.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, I should
work beyond understanding how they survived all these years. Right.
It doesn't make any sense. Or just like even the whole Christian theology had to change because of the state of Israel. Because their whole thing was like, we're the dispersed people and that's we're the chosen, but we're back now. Like, let's change. Higdil Hashem. Like, we have to completely broaden our concept of like what God is, and if you know, and like our understanding of what God is just so deep and so high that we have to go mamash change the world. It's about the Hashem. We have to teach him. Higdil Hashem lasotim ela. I'm also thinking Ela is Gematria 36. Sorry, I'm gonna Gematria 36 tzaddikim with these tzaddikim. Higdil Hashem lasot imanu hayinu tzadik simechim. God has made great to do with us. We were so happy. Higdil Hashem lasot. I don't know exactly what the difference is between Eile versus imanu.
So is what the Goyim are going to say?
With these and then with they're going to say with these guys and then we say with us. So we're,
right.
Good call.
You know, it's almost like we're testifying to it.
Right.
Testify.
Awesome. Okay. So now that was kind of all part one. Shuva Hashem et shiveitenu. Ka'afikim ba'anekev. So, return us, Hashem, from our captivity like rain floods in the desert. Okay? In other words, we've been like a desert. We've been so dry. So now that we're celebrating, this is such a natural thing. After you celebrate, you then feel like you need to go out and ask for more. So it's almost like as much as it's amazing that we're back, we're still praying. We're saying, we're not there yet. I think this is a request. You could read it differently. You could say it's not a request, but you'd say praise. Look, God returned us. Tafika Banegas, but maybe I think he's saying like he's asking, return us back. And then it works well that Sierra Balas could be for this time period. Because we're not perfect, but we want. Yeah? Okay, one more cool thing. Ka'afikim Banegev. There's only one time Afik appears in the root Aleph Pei Kuf appears in the Torah. Check this. Vayitapek. And Yosef held himself back. Yosef was like holding himself back from crying. He wanted to cry, but he couldn't cry. So Hashem Mamash stopped him. Pretty crazy, right?
That's the only time where we
have this root of Kafikin.
Okay.
I believe. Vayitapek. When Yosef held himself back from revealing himself to the brothers. Hazorim bedima barina yiktsoru. Those who plow with tears, with joy, we'll reap a harvest, right? And that's of course Yom HaZikaron when we're taking this time to cry a little bit, and then in the schus of that we'll dance on Yom HaAtzmaut, Bezrat Hashem. We'll dance through all the pain, in proportion to all the tears. That's the joy. Halach yelach uvacha nosem meshech hazara bo yavo berina nosel umotav. Going and crying, bearing the wheat. In other words, the one who's taking all the wheat and was crying will now go with Rina, and he will hold up his wheat sheaves. And again, of course, where else have we heard of somebody who had wheat sheaves? What does that remind us of?
Yosef
HaTzadik. What was his original dream? About the wheat sheaves. What's he, at the end of the story, what's he giving his father and giving his brothers? The wheat sheaves. So the one who is crying all these years is eventually going to be giving them. From the tears, he's gonna see that all that pain was ultimately what helped. It looked like it was terrible for those 22 years, but in the end, it all worked out. He needed to go through that experience in order to redeem the Jewish people.
When he gives the sheaves when the brothers come to visit him.
Yeah, and they need food, yeah. And he's the mashgiach.
Cool. Wow.
So, Rabbi Foreman points out that it's dafka the tears that make this allusion to Yosef's story helps show us that it's not just that he had bad and we have bad, but his bad is what saved him in the end, even though he had no idea. And our bad, our galut, is ultimately which helped. Is in the end of the day, we're going to figure out how it was all like a bad dream, but we needed to go through that horrible process in order to get to the redemption. So, Bezrat Hashem, yeah?
No, I just want to jump in. I usually don't go off tangent, but we already brought up the story of Yosef, and I always found it fascinating that the pasuk over there says he called out and told everyone to leave the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it says, and then it says, Ishloya imai, when Yosef was father, himself to the brothers. I've got the exact pasuk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pasuk.
So we know that Medrash says that Ish, in the last parsha, the Yigash and Mikitz, this and the parsha before Vayigash, the Pesukim bring up this Ish guy who keeps on bringing the brothers in, takes care of them. And the Pesukim say that was Menashe, and Menashe was Yosef's bodyguard. And that's when Yehuda was with Vayigash Yehuda, and he threatened him. Yosef told Menashe to stamp on the floor. He stamped on the floor, and the house shook, and Yehuda stopped a second and said, this doesn't make sense, this had to be someone from my family, but he doesn't understand how, so he held himself back. What's crazy is that the story of Yosef was that Ish lo yaya imay. Why did the pasuk have to repeat itself? He already sent everyone out of the room, so why does it have to say, oh, and there was no one in the room when he told his brothers? That wasn't the thing. He sent everyone else out of the room. Menashe was his blood, and his bodyguard, and he sent him out of the room too. He put himself in a matzav of sakana, life-threatening. He was just threatened by his life, and now he sent the one person that was his own safety, just so that even his own son, who was his own blood, should not see the expression on the faces of the brothers when they realize who he is.
Huh.
So they shouldn't go through that embarrassment.
Yeah, that sensitive. Give up.
Where did he get that from? His mother.
Oh. Mm. Ah, beautiful, beautiful.
You just brought that part up.
Awesome.
It was fascinating.
Hey, Bezrat Hashem. No, it's good.
But she didn't embarrass Leah? Awesome.
Yeah, but if you go through the impression of what she actually did.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right, Chabrat, we're going to wrap it up here because I think if we leave right now, we...